His eternal form constitutes the highest understanding of the absolute truth, according to all great acharyas, including Sankaracharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet, although Lord Krishna's eternal spiritual form is a realized fact for advanced devotees, for those who are weak in Krishna consciousness, the inconceivable pastimes and plan of the Lord are sometimes hard to appreciate properly. Translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O leaders of the Yadu dynasty, please note all these terrible omens that have appeared in the worker. Just like the flags of death, we should not remain here a moment longer." So here, the Lord warns his devotees. The Lord warns the living entity, actually everyone, in different ways, either through his scriptures or as a super soul, the eternal guide. It's a voice which you hear when you're very young, but it disappears when you get older and you don't heed the instructions of the super soul. Then that voice becomes softer and softer till it practically stops speaking to you because you don't listen anyway. It's like if I tell you, "Please don't do that," and you can't be bothered to listen to me. I might say it another time, but then I think, why bother? You know, just do your thing and go to hell, or get dirty, or get smashed, or be miserable. You see? So the Lord is, we are created like that. You know, we want to help people. You know, we want to help our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our associates, the people outside. But if they don't listen, then you might repeat it another time, and another time, maybe another time, but then you think, I don't want to spend my time on this particular person. Well, just, you know, they don't listen. And sometimes even you try to help someone, and instead of being grateful, they hurl abuse to you. You see? So like that, then it's the best just to avoid those living entities, even if they're in the dress of a devotee. Like that. In the purpose. 1 second. Yeah, it says, in other words, it is not Lord Krishna's desire that conditioned souls be sinful and suffer. Actually, you know, the Lord is lamenting more and missing us more than we miss him. You know, even the story of the, in the Bible, the story of the father and his one of his sons. He says, "Oh Father, please give me inheritance. I just want to go outside and enjoy, you know, or be independent." And the father gives, with pain in his heart, he gives him his inheritance. And then the guy, the son, he goes away, and because he has lots of money to spend, so he attracts lots of friends who wants to enjoy his money. So, you know, they're having a good time, and one day, all the money is gone. And then all of his friends, his so-called friends, leave him. And then he finds himself with no house, nothing, no money. Then he ends up sleeping with the pigs, you know, in the haystack, etc., eating with the pigs. And then he thinks, "My God, you know, what am I doing here? My father is so rich, you know. And I'm living here with the pigs now. Oh, I really want to go back home, you know, but it's quite embarrassing, isn't it? You know, I spent all my money. He might be very angry. And then he goes home. And when the father sees him, he goes, oh, you know, he's crying. Oh, my son, you have appeared. I'm so happy. And there was another son. For all those years he was spending his money, that son was working on the field and doing this and doing that. And when he saw that son coming back and being embraced by his father, he was a little thinking, my God, you know, I'm the one who is been working, you know, like anything, and this guy has been doing this, and look at this, my father's been so happy. So he wasn't really happy. So we shouldn't have this attitude, you know, that if we have the tendency, like if we are a new devotee, if we're just in the temple, we see everyone as pure devotees more or less. You go like, Jai Prabhu, oh Jai Prabhu, Jai Mataji. You see everyone very respectful. Then after 2 years, 4 years, 7 years, you see, oh, she speaks too much, and he's too lazy, and he's too crazy, and he's this, and he's that. Actually, I'm the only one who's fixed up and pure, you know, like that. But pride comes before the fall, it's sad, you see? And then we get smashed ourselves, and then we get humbled, and then when you mature in this way, you grow up to Krishna consciousness, and then you, because you see your own faults again, or realize that you're not a pure devotee, and you have actually lots of, you know, many things to do, many anarthas you have, unwanted things, and then you feel also compassion for those. Then you see the shortcomings, but you see they have their shortcomings, and I have my shortcomings. It's like Srila Prabhupada gave the example: you're in the shower. Yeah, we all in the shower, and then I say, hey, you have some shower, you know, you have some dirt behind your ear, but when I have some dirt here, or I have some dirt here, or maybe on top of my head, which I don't see, you know, like that. It's also in the Bible, it says, you know, we see the splinter of wood in someone's eye, but we don't see the big lodge in our own eye. You know, we don't see it. We don't see our shortcomings. But we see everything, all the mistakes that everyone else does, very, very clearly. Like that. So, if a devotee becomes mature, then he tries to see the good in every living entity. You know, like, just like, you know, like one time Srila Prabhupada was sitting in, in New York, in the very early days, 26th Avenue, I think. And then a drunk comes in, staggering inside the temple, and with a roll of toilet paper. And he goes to the toilet and puts it there. You know, some people say, oh, you're drunk, you cannot be in here. You know, but Papa said, oh, very, you know, very nice. Like that. And there's so many stories, examples of Prabhupada or devotees appreciating the good rather than see the evil. And Krishna sees so much the good that for instance, example that this devotee was feeding, the Lord came, Krishna came to his house, and he was so overwhelmed in ecstasy, and he was serving him things, and he was peeling a banana, and then he was so in ecstasy, he gave the peel to Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna said, you know what you're doing. He was just so looking at it. He was so like, oh, and he was just eating the peel up because it's the devotion that counts, you know. So like that. So we should try to be like that, to become like that. It's very difficult, but by practicing and by, you know, trying to be loving, and then how more loving you are, how more Krishna is pleased with you, and how more loving you become. Like that. There was something else here in this purport. Let me see. Yeah. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a great amount of evidence from the Vedic literatures proving that the human-like form of the personality of Godhead is eternal, without any tinge of material manifestation. And besides his human-like form, what else? He mentions a few other things. Most of you came too late. So, but those who were in there, who remember? Anything? So the Lord, as well as? What is eternal? What is eternal? What? I'm a little deaf. What? His paraphernalia. Yes. What? What? Louder. Associate. Sorry. His associate, yes. And, yeah. And something else? That I said already. The holy name. His holy name. Yeah. They are all eternal spiritual manifestations without any tinge of material contamination. Yeah. And it's stated here also in the purport that the Lord creates this appropriate age during which the demon-like living entities who are still in this world, because before Kali Yuga there were three other yugas, and then so the sane persons and the pious persons had gone back to Godhead. So those who are left in Kali Yuga, they're quite like, it's like you go to school and you how you say that in English, you have to do it another year. How you call that? Well, how you call that?
Repeat.
Okay, and then imagine you have to repeat another year. So you're 10 years old and you're still in the first grade. You call it the first grade or whatever. And you know, you're 15 years old. That's quite embarrassing if you have a growing moustache and you're still with the other ones are 6 years old. And you are there. And they ask a question and you... and the little boy goes, Africa. Like that. So we are that stupid and so fallen that we are still here. Of all these stupid people, we in this world, we are the most smart at the moment, because we're here at the moment. You are all here. You see, while the others, they are doing all kinds of other things. So in this way, we're not the ones who are here at the moment are not that stupid. They are just a little brighter than those outside, you know. Like that. Many people, they say that you have many like humanists, and those humanist people, they are very nice people actually. They do lots of social welfare work, and they're considerate, and you know, they give in charity to the blind, to the poor, to the starving children there, to the earthquake there, to the floods in Australia there, blah, 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 blah. They're very pious. But they don't believe in God. Strange, huh? And so it is said that sometimes the mode of goodness, it can bind you. You know, and you feel like yourself a little God. So I'm such a good person. Yes, I have a great heart. Like that. And it is very difficult, or it's not difficult, but for some people to explain that there is a God, because they think, if they're not that bright, they think that God creates the hunger and all that suffering. And indeed, it is created by his associates. By his administrative demigods, etc. But the cause of why people are suffering is not God. It is we are enjoying, or in this case, we are suffering the results of our previous activities. You see? And that's why, and that's the way you can explain to those who are nice persons but don't believe in God, that the reason why they're suffering is because we are suffering the results of previous activities. And if you realize that you are eternal, then this suffering is just temporary. It's like, you know, a prison, sometimes you have a life sentence, prison, life in prison, or sometimes you have 20 years or 10 years. So you might have a life sentence that you're blind or that you cannot dance. So some people, say for instance, they take an invalid person in a wheelchair to the beach or to a dance, to a disco. And the person might be thankful, oh, thank you, you know, it's good. And they might go like this with their hands, but they're frustrated because they can't really get up and dance and swing, or they can't really, you know, do this or that. So they're thankful to you for helping them like that, trying to assist or trying to console in their sufferings. But deep in the heart, they're still miserable because they, you know, they can't get up and dance. But if you give them the knowledge from actually you're not an invalid, you're a spirit soul. It's just that this body is crippled or whatever, you know, but that is only for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, as long as you exist in this world. And then in your next life, you can dance again. Really? Yes. I see. So in this way, there is a hope, because there's an end, a clear end to their suffering. And therefore, only by knowledge can you cut the suffering of frustration and lamentation with the weapon of knowledge. With this weapon of knowledge, you can realize, yes, I wasn't getting my visa for The Hague, for India. I was in The Hague in Holland to get my visa. And then I met someone who I hadn't seen for, he was at a drama school with me, which was like 40 years ago. So he saw me and he said, oh, I'm so happy to see you, but I have to tell you, I'm not doing well, I'm not so well. I said, what happened? My girlfriend left me. And it was just the end. She left him for a younger guy, and it just broke his heart. And there was no happiness at all in this world, and he has fallen in a big, big hole. So I tried to preach to him, and I was just saying, you know, I went to his home actually, and he had a picture there of Buddha, and then I said, you know, by meditation, you know, I actually chanted a little bit with him, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I explained that just like now it was December or November, I said, now it's cold and cloudy, but we know there will be spring, there will be an end to our coldness and suffering, you see? So, I know it's painful, but there will be, in due course of time, this pain will diminish. You know, and maybe you meet another person, or maybe she will come back to you. You know, so don't get into this negative state of being and just relish the pain and the suffer. It's kind of also kind of enjoyment. Oh, I'm so, you know, I'm feeling so bad. But he said, I know what you say is true, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's just like when Narada Muni told Dhruva, you know, let me see, I wrote a musical on Dhruva Maharaj about his whole life, so I must know. So, and I spoke Narada Muni, he said, and then Dhruva said, he said, oh Naradaji, someone like me who gets disturbed, being a Kshatriya, so easily, you know, what you have so kindly explained, this kind of philosophy doesn't appeal to me. O learned Brahmana, it's not my fault being born as a Kshatriya, you know, blah, blah, blah. I forgot those lines then. You know, whatever you have spoken, you know, it doesn't appeal to me. And then Narada Muni says, because Dhruva Maharaj was being angry and hurt because he wasn't allowed by his stepmother to sit on the lap of his father. And his father, being very attached to that particular wife, who was the prettiest and youngest, didn't speak up from, oh, what do you say, wife, shut up, or something like that. So how dare you say that, you know, to this son? How can you speak these harsh words to him? Shame on you. No, he didn't say anything. And that's why Dhruva got so hurt, so much hurt. You know, just like sometimes someone insults you and there's others present and no one stands up for you. So you feel really awful, isn't it? No one's, especially if you're innocent and whatever, and the others know it, and no one speaks up for you. And it is like all those who don't speak up, they share in the offense. Not only the person who speaks the offense, but all those who witness it and didn't speak up. If you hear an offense, then there's a few things you can do. Who can tell me one of the things? Yes? You have to speak up, I can't hear. Okay, that's the last question. Okay, another thing, what can you say? Yes?
Leave the place.
And what do you want to say? Also the same? And no, you can also say, excuse me, sorry, what you're saying is completely not true. I was there, you know, he didn't do it, or he didn't say it, he didn't mean it, blah, blah, blah. First of all, you have to defend that person. You know, if a case there is a quarrel between two elders, then you say to Prabhupada disciples, then stay aloof. If it's between two brahmacharis in the brahmacharya ashram, then you know, according to who is saying who, etc. Sometimes it's best to leave and then just go to the person. Actually, it's not true what you say if the anger has diminished a little. Like that. But we have to always, if we see someone treated unfairly, or then we have always to defend that person. Maybe not at that time, but then later you have to tell the person, or else you share in the sins. Going back to Dhruva Maharaj, so Narada Muni said, that's so nice about writing plays, because I never read, actually. I never read a book. I only listen to lectures. I read a book when it comes out, and then not anymore. But I listen a lot to Prabhupada, and so Krishna tricked me. So I'm writing a book, so I have to read the story again and again. You know, he finds ways to get you to do whatever he wants you to do. You know, like that. So then Narada Muni says, when you meet someone who is more qualified than yourself, and generally the envious, the non-devotee, or even some devotees, some immature devotees, nearby devotees, when you meet someone who is who's a better madanga player, or more learned, or better on sankirtan, some of us might feel what? Yeah, don't be shy in saying it, because I'm a little deaf. You just say it clearly. You know, because you say it, so if you're not sure, don't say it. You know, don't say envy. You say envy. Yeah. Because, and if you say it, you say, no, sorry, but you're right. Like that, you can make a mistake. We have brains, you know. We shouldn't speculate about the truth. We have brains to... Or if we know it, we read it. Oh, I suppose it's good to speculate about envy. Yes, very good. Pride or whatever. No, not really. Or, you know, just like that. If you make a statement, make a bold statement. So if you meet someone who is more qualified, we have the tendency to become envious. And... that's why we're here also, because we're envious of Krishna, isn't it?
So then Narada Muni continues to Dhruva Maharaj, if you meet someone who is less qualified than yourself, what should you do? No? If you meet what? Be compassionate. And what does the materialist or the non-devotee do? Or you laugh at him. He's so stupid. Oh my God. You know, he's so ugly. Oh my God. You know, he's so spaced out. Oh my God. You like that. We make fun out of them. You know, like that. And you go like, isn't it? Have you ever done that? Never? Never? Who has never done such a thing? I used to do it constantly. It was it's quite enjoyable. You know. But it's sarcasm, you know, humor at the expense of someone else. And now I don't like it anymore. Because I know, although deep in my heart I still like it a little, but I try not to get into it, making fun of others. You know, like that. It's just, you know, we all have our merits. And I was quite expert in cutting people down. And, but, you know, I realize, you know, I have so many mistakes. And the Lord is not pleased, you see, if I make fun out of other living entities. Because I don't like if they make fun of that, because I have so many shortcomings, and if they point that out, you know, I don't like it as well. So that's why a devotee should treat other living entities the way they want to be treated themselves. You see? So the Lord also wants to be treated like you want to be treated. So when you come in the temple room, you know, like some people, they come in respect, but which is nice, appropriate, but if you give him a big smile, you know, then he even likes it. You know, like if I come in a room, you know, and someone goes, you know, the eyes open up and there's a sparkle in the eye, a kind of happiness that they see, oh, you really are wonderful, you know, that makes me feel good. And why do I feel like that? Because Krishna also feels like that. We all have the things we feel, Krishna has it too. We are created in his image. So he likes the, you know, the respect, but the respect should be also flavored with enthusiasm and love and devotion. My Lord, you're so wonderful. Oh, you look so beautiful, or you're so kind, or whatever. Yeah? So going back to Narada Muni's instructions to the Rumaraj. So he said, if you meet someone who is more qualified than yourself, rather than being envious, try to learn from that person. Yeah? If he is a better cook, don't be envious. Look, say, oh, Prabhu, oh, you know, how, what did you put in that sabji? That was so amazing. Can I have a look how you make it? Can you tell me the ingredients? Now, certain cooks tell you all the ingredients except one, because they don't want you to become better or as good as them. But, you know, a pure devotee, a nice kind of devotee, will tell you everything, explain you all the details, because he wants you to cook as good as for Krishna. As for him, he wants to share everything, you know, like that. Oh, you know, well, you do like this, and you wait, you put this in the ghee, and you wait just a minute. You know, no, don't let the mustard seed become, no, not black, brown soft. And then you put a little bit like this, and I put in the pumpkin soup, I just put a little nutmeg. Yeah, that gives a sweet taste, you see. And also you can use this sometimes, and then some fresh coriander leaves on top. Just on top, and it looks pretty also if you bring it on to the altar. You put some fresh, and it looks, tastes very nice. Like, oh, thank you, like that. So when you meet someone who's more qualified, don't be envious, but try to learn from that person. If you meet someone who's less qualified, don't make fun out of a person but become compassionate? And what if you meet someone who is your equal? Make friends with him. But what do? We compete. Have you read it? Did you read it? Who said compete? You said it? Yeah. It's from you.
Yeah.
That's what Narada Muni said. You compete. You want to be better than that person. Like that. And in a material world, everything is centered around being the best, you know. Being the best at the club, the Olympic gold, you know. And then if it's not our own prestige, we relish in our nation. Australia won the World Cup or whatever, you know, won their hockey or rugby or whatever they do here. And you know, Australia, yeah, you know, you're nothing at all. You don't know, you don't even know how to lift the ball or what to do with it. But you take pride in that. Australia. I'm Australia. We won. And this is all this. It's so weird, actually. You know, this nationalism, this like that. You know, unfortunately, devotees don't have that so much. But the non-devotees, oh, they really appreciate it. Do you know? I don't know football. What they do in Holland and England. Holland is quite good in football. Anyway, so I'm sitting at home, and then everyone is playing football, or watching football in the pubs. They have these huge screens, you know, television screens, where everyone sits there. So I'm at home, and here, you know, and then, so Holland went to the half finals, or semi-finals, or whatever you call it. And then they got even one higher, and then you hear it with the goals, every goal, you hear it all over the city. And then, they were in the finals. I didn't hear anything. I just stayed completely quiet. I felt the atmosphere. And normally, after the match is over, then they come by the car and they honk and they cheer and they go, hoot, hoot, you know, all Amsterdam, you hear it. I was in 77. We had a skyscraper, 13th story. And I was on top of that skyscraper. And the electricity had gone for quite a few days. I remember because I was taking care of Lord Jagannath, and when he was sick, you know, during the parade before, during the time before Rath Yatra, and he was situated on the 11th story floor, and I had to wake him, bathe him, and somehow or other they dressed him. Like in other temples, he doesn't get dressed, he's in a bed or covered, but I had to dress him, and I had to do all the offerings. So when there was no electricity, so I had to go 11 floors up and down with every offering, so I remember that. Anyway, so I was on the roof, and at one point, the electricity came on. And so in New York, there are like 13 million people, or at that time, or something like that. So I heard, because sound travels upwards, right? So I heard from the whole city, I heard a release, sigh of relief. And then it went off again, and you were, so it was, so let us do it all. So I heard it. So, and that was really like sukha dukkha, you know, the flickering. Flickering enjoyment, and I still remember that it took place in 77, you know, and maybe some of you were there at that time in your previous life, who knows. And so that's material world, you know, it's flickering happiness. I go back to the purport, because I the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O leaders of the Yadu dynasty, please note all these terrible omens that have appeared in the world are just like the flags of death. We should not remain here a moment longer. So the Lord himself warns you in your heart, in the super soul. He warns you through others, maybe even through a karmi, through your neighbor. He warns you, he advises you, or maybe it's through scriptures. And like that. So he always try to help you and guide you. What time is it? 9:30. Yesterday, Prabhuji on the chair was asking something about Raghunath Das Goswami, and I just read one little thing about him which I wanted to share with you. It says that Raghunath, he was so fixed, his fixedness. What you could compare like a line in a stone, just like these lines in the stones. Yes, Prabhuji, these lines in the marble, you see, even if you wash them every day, the lines are still there. So his steadiness was that fixed, that, you know, we are steady sometimes, not all the time. So we have to become steady like that, fixed every day. Well, that's why we have to work at. So that is one story I wanted to share about Raghunath. For the rest, they are, you can read in the books, they are generally readable. And there were quite a few, you know, like yesterday, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. I want to give the example about him because I like him, because you see, many devotees, they expect devotees to behave in a certain way or to look in a certain way, and if you're a little different, then they don't like it, and in this way they narrow down, they become very narrow minded. And so the associate of Lord Chaitanya, the Dalar, he had a friend, I forgot the name of the friend, and he said, come, let's see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And he said, he's a great soul. So Gadadhar, yeah, the associate, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, that Gadadhar. So he went along, maybe it was Mukunda, I forgot the friend. Does anyone know whose friend? Who was it? Was Mukunda. Okay, so he went along. And then, so he came into a very opulent place, and there was this man, he had long hair, with, look what they do in India, with oil, so that it looked very shiny, and he had, it was everywhere silk sheets on his bed, and there was pen is chewing things, and he was with lots of perfume, he had perfume on, and you know, he looked really like a big materialist, you know, and then Gadadhar was thinking, you know, look at him, my God, you know. And then he was saying, maybe he was saying, like, you know, is this a great devotee? Like this, you know. And then Mukunda, right? What's Mukunda? He spoke a verse of the Bhagavatam. I forgot the verse. But he mentioned something about Krishna, you know. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he became completely became wild, completely absorbed in Krishna, and he was tearing the silk clothes, and he was smashing things, and he was going like, he became completely in ecstasy, experiencing bhava. And then Gadadhar, he just realized, of course, I've made a big mistake, a big aparada. What were we talking about yesterday? Big aparada. You know, and then, in order to counteract his offense, he asked to be initiated by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And actually, Gadadhar, you know, like he's the incarnation of Radharani, and yes, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Huh? Yeah. So actually, he's the father. But anyway, so these pastimes happen as to show to us. You know, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they are quite, they are all very different. You know, you have Haridas Thakur, then you have one of my favorite characters is Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda Pandit, why I like him, because he's himself. He has a little booklet. Who has read that little booklet? If you don't have it, get it. He writes, in the beginning he says, Sri Rupdabhadar asked me to write something about for the enlightenment of humankind. I can't be bothered. I just write what I like, you know. And he's the devotee when he wants to pamper Lord Chaitanya, you know, because he in his life in Krishna Lila, who is he?
Satyabhama.
And Satyabhama is quite a character. You know, you have Rukmini. Rukmini is always biased, you know, always. She's a right wing. Right wing. Right wing means always pleasing, always. Never speak up. Never say. Krishna says something. No. If Krishna says something, then you cry, oh no, what have I done? Brothers, no, that's not true, you know. And with Krishna, she's a relationship. One time, Krishna was just joking with her, you know, and saying something about leaving her, and then she fainted. She was just like, she fell down completely, completely in excitement. Just the thought of Krishna leaving her like that. And then you have Satyabhama. Satyabhama is left wing. You know, she argues with Krishna. You know, just like Radharani argues, or Lalita. You know, they very, you know, oh, they make fun out of Krishna and other gopis. No, never make fun out of Krishna. It's their lord, you know, the hero. They must make fun. But they have other gopis, and just like other gopas, they make fun. Ah, you're so strong. Look, let me show you. You know, so he has different coward voice. Some coward voice, oh, can I help you? Would you like to be fed? Shall I give you a massage? And others say, or they stoke, like yesterday was saying this. With a stick, or they go like, you know, like like that. So, just really like that, you know, we're all individual. And that's why you should, in the beginning I was thinking, I expected everyone to be like me, more or less. You know, everyone likes singing or dancing, and someone just like to study at them, you know, boring. You know, going by, you know. It's like that. But they have to be there. You know, they can quote all the things which I can't be bothered to learn. You know, so they can defeat someone. I can just say, okay, excuse me, can you tell Fede 10 offenses or whatever? You know. Yeah. So yeah, you know. I learned two verses. When I was young, the brahmacharya is really very simple. And in the class, it's just one sloka after another. And it was not to enlighten, it was just to show off. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's second, tenth, mamana bhagavad bhakti, majajamana maskaramana. Anyway. I just, from the Bhagavatam, I learned one verse that is for selling books. and I didn't even learn the Sanskrit, just the English. And it goes like, in this Iron Age of Kali, it was page 66, I remember that because I had to find it. In this Iron Age of Kali, men are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. That, and in the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Just to sell the book, you know, to show your eternal blah 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 blah, and like that. So Jagannanda Pandit said, you know, like, I just write what I want to do. But of course, Srila Prabhupada requested us to learn in order able to convert others into devotees and to preach. I myself, I don't have this.
Chinese, unfortunately. I have to force myself to learn, etc. But then I know where I can find it. You know, I said there, I look it up. But some other Christian tricks me that I still have to do it. Like if you see on Ratha Yatra, I'm doing a play. A devotee meets Dracula. I play Dracula, of course. And the devotee, every time Dracula says something, the devotee defeats Dracula with a verse from the second canto, from the second chapter. You know, like he says, for instance, "My most beautiful," it's a girl. She goes, "My most beautiful one, you're such a feast for the eyes, and what to speak of the tongue?" And she goes, "Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control." I go, "Oh, can you speak to me of control when the mere sight of you fills me with lust?" It is lust only which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. "But my dear, you misunderstand me. I feel a profound attachment." "Yes, it's a fact." You know, and every time, and then, "You make me so angry, I invite you." "Yes, from lust, anger arises. From anger, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls down into the material pool." Yeah, anyway, so in this way, Krishna Bahuka, you say that? Or, anyway, he tricks me to learn. You know, he's very tricky, you know. He finds a way to get to do what he wants you to do. Anyway, I still resist. Okay, so going back. So yesterday, I was going back to the class of yesterday. Yesterday there was lots of don't this, this is offensive, this is offensive, this is offensive. And indeed, you know, like I noticed this morning during Guru Puja, there were still people with their back completely to Lord Jagannath at the women's side and with their back completely to Gaurani at the Gaurani side. We don't stand like this in the temple, ever in the past. We always stand this or this way. If there's only deities in the middle, you can stand like that. If the curtains are closed, you can stand. If the curtain closed, you can stand like that. If the curtains are open, always stand a little sideways. We always wear like this. Men this way, women this way. Like that. And this will never with the back. And you see, like an Indian guest sometimes comes in a temple and he goes backwards outside the door. He doesn't even turn here. He goes backwards. You know, like that. Respect. Always remember, you see, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple room. And this whole place is his house. So, like I noticed in France, many people put their shoes nice on there, and so they just kick them off. And it's a big mess. Yeah, and so other devotees have to climb over them, and it looks messy. So, if someone who is clean and neat comes in and says, "Oh, hippies live here." You know, it's just laziness. Take your shoe, pull up your leg and just put them out there, or just take them off and place them on the rack. You know, you shouldn't leave any dirt behind you. If you've given class, after the class, take up your seat. Not, "Oh, someone will clean it up." Put it there. Or else the Lord has to look at all these seats scattered around. You see? Think like that. In order to become Krishna conscious, you have to become conscious. Where your feet are, where your back are, back is, like that. So, are there any questions? Big silence. Everything was clear. Yeah, most of you didn't hear the purport nor the verse. It came in so late, so you've only heard what I've been speaking at. And it is so early, so for 5 minutes, let me just say here, there was something interesting, extraordinary. So he says in the purport, "Since Lord Krishna personally establishes religious principles in his various appearances in this material world, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, religion on this earth was overwhelmingly powerful. All the significant
demons had been killed. The great sages, saints, and devotees had been greatly encouraged, enlightened, and fortified. And there was little scope for evil. Had Lord Krishna ascended to the spiritual sky in his spiritual body before the eyes of the world, it would have been very difficult for Kali Yuga to flourish. Lord Krishna left the world in exactly that way during his appearance as Ramachandra, and hundreds of thousands of years later, hundreds of millions of wise persons still discuss this wonderful pastime of the Lord. To pave the way for Kali Yuga, however, Lord Krishna left this world in a way that puzzles those who are not his devotees. The eternal form of the Lord is described throughout Vedic literature, and his eternal form constitutes the highest understanding of the absolute truth according to all great acharyas, including Sankaracharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet, although Lord Krishna's eternal spiritual form is a realized fact for advanced devotees, for those who are weak in Krishna consciousness, the inconceivable pastimes and plan of the Lord are sometimes hard to appreciate properly. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.